obsessed with all things ovine, there is seriously something about sheep and always something new to learn about keeping, breeding and farming them. Welcome to the Sheep Show podcast. I'm Jill Noble from Holston Valley Farm and Sheep Stud and your host. The Sheep Show podcast exists to help you, no matter where you are in the world, what sheep you breed, what size your flock is. This podcast will help your sheep knowledge and your shepherding confidence grow. And it's a two-way street. I love to hear from you and find out how your sheep journey is going. Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. Come along on this episode as we explore the amazing world of sheep and sheep farming together. Okay, so I'm interested in quite a deep topic, and that is the estrus cycle of ewes. The reason for this is recently I've had some customers bringing some ewes back to get joined, and they're late. We're joining these particular group of ewes really late, and it's just made me research, think, investigate what happens with seasonal breeders. How different is it to non-seasonal breeders, and what does it actually all mean? So I've got a few little myths to bust and a few little things that I find really interesting and incredibly sort of surprising when it comes to understanding our sheep and their reproductive cycle. So let's explore. So one of the key things I've worked out and started to realize is that we're talking about reproduction in non-human mammals, which is regulated by an estrus cycle. So it's different, okay? So who knew sheep are different to humans, and how the reproduction cycle is quite actually different. And of course, what we're really talking about here is the difference between what we call an estrus cycle and, for humans, a menstrual cycle. So there's quite a lot of differences in this thing. So menstrual cycles, they occur in primates, so humans, monkeys, apes, and it's quite different to an estrus cycle, which is where you have a non-human mammal where it becomes sexually responsive during a specific season, a heat, if you like. Okay, so that's really what we're talking about, that the sort of the heat that they would go through. So some of the key differences here are that in the estrus cycle, we have seasonal breeders. Now, we know that from some of our other podcasts that some sheep are polyestrus, so they're going to be cycling all the time, but that's still different. They still have an estrus cycle, and actually there's still a season when they are more likely to get pregnant. They're more likely to actually be going through heat. So seasonal breeders have an estrus cycle. A menstrual cycle is what we see in what we call continuous breeders. And of course, we're talking particularly primates here, so humans, monkeys, and apes. With an estrus cycle, there is no loss of blood. So there's actually no period or menstruation, if you like, whereas in a menstrual cycle, well, who knew, there's menstruation. Estrus cycle continues until the animal dies. So actually, sheep don't go through menopause. How cool is that? Yeah, that, you know, a lot of people do ask me about how long sheep breeds for. And well, you know, literally until they die, they are potentially cycling. And of course, a menstrual cycle has an end, a menopause, if you like. So where there's a pause or an end to that particular cycle. So really interesting just to look at those key differences at a real sort of high level. Different species have variability of this cycle. Generally, the smaller the animal, the more frequent the cycle Yeah. So I don't know about you, but probably like me, you might have a cat on your farm, and cats being quite small, they cycle anywhere from some 3 to 6 weeks. So that's quite a lot, quite frequent. Where our sheep, of course, we know have a frequency of about 18 days. So the smaller the animal, the more frequent the cycle. So, and again, this occurs, what we're talking about here is the estrus cycle in those non-primates. So, we've talked about cats, but cows, dogs, tigers, deer, sheep, all these sorts of things. And some species are slightly different, but some species would go through different postpartum estruses and different types of estruses and things like that. But for our sheep, they would go through a heat. One of the key things that impacts this cycling or this heat, this estrus, particularly for sheep that are what we call short day breeders, is that the estrus cycles are affected by seasons. And the number of hours daily that light enters the eye of the animal impacts their brain, and the brain then governs the release of certain activities and hormones. So sheep that are seasonal breeders, we're generally talking about British breed sheep here, we call them short day breeders. So the shorter the day, the more likely it is to breed. So, here in the Southern Hemisphere, that is where we start to sort of somewhere between, and this is quite interesting, so somewhere between the summer solstice and the winter solstice. Yeah, so here that in Australia, that's the 21st of December to the 21st of June. So, hence our sheep, for example, are in their main heat in February, March, and April. The closer you get to June, yeah, the less impact that this light on the brain is going to have. And in the US and Canada, for example, that is going to be between the 21st of June and the 21st of December. So in that instance, you're going to have your sort of peak cycling between, again, most sheep, seasonal breeders, between sort of September, October, thereabouts. Now, there are some sheep that are less seasonal. However, they will still breed better in that particular, in their natural season. Yeah, they'll still breed better in their natural season. So they'll have a more pronounced estrus in that particular season. And it's very hard to know if a ewe is in estrus. Really, the only thing we can use is that the ram will tell you. The ram will tell you if the ewe is actually experiencing or the ewe is in heat. They will seek out a ram, they'll stand for the ram, they'll often wag their tails, they do this kind of funny dance. They'll nuzzle the ram, often around his belly or scrotum. Sometimes they'll even mount a ram, and I see this in cows all the time. Now, young ewes, because they're new to all of this, they would rarely exhibit that behavior, and it's going to take them longer to come into heat. But they will still start to exhibit these sorts of behaviors as they get older, and there's actually quite a lot of difference between younger ewes and older ewes when it comes to these estrus cycles. So I would expect when I see normally in putting in a ram, you often see action straight away. It took a while. It took a while for it to sort of trigger the cycling of those particular ewes, but they're still cycling. So that's good news for those customers who are wanting to see that particular action and, of course, get their ewes pregnant. With that, what's causing this particular and this day length, so I mentioned to you that what's happening is that the light entering the brain is impacting the hormone, one of those main hormones, which is produced by the hypothalamus in the brain, stimulates the production of the follicle element. Yeah. And it's called GnRH, if you're interested. And what happens in the seasonality here is that melatonin, which regulates the production of this GnRH, this is what melatonin stimulates. So it stimulates an increase in this particular hormone in the hypothalamus, and that initiates the hormones involved in the rest of the estrous cycle. So when daylight begins to increase and nights become shorter, less melatonin is produced. And the decreased melatonin is related to the decrease in GnRH. So this is when the estrous cycles become irregular or they just stop altogether. So this is where, again, when we have more shorter days, we have a change in that hormone cycle. And that's what can produce that that need to, or that cycling in that, at that particular time during whatever your autumn typically is. So the number of eggs that are released during the ovulation, and the ovulation, as I mentioned, stimulated by introduction of rams in particular, and feed and environment. We talked about this in some other podcasts. So the shorter the daylight hours to stimulate the breeding cycle, and then the ovulation rate is the maximum around the shortest day in autumn. And this is, again, why, where we see natural breeding in sheep at that time in autumn. You also see that ewes that are bred during the natural cycle, the natural cycling time that we're talking about here, so autumn, whether you're in whatever hemisphere you're in autumn, fertility is highest at that time. The ewes that are bred are most efficient, and they generally produce the highest percentage of multiple births. So effectively, nature works best when you work with nature. High temperatures in particular, so hot weather, can be very detrimental to fertility, to embryo survival and fetal development. And of course, that can also impact sperm production as well. So high temperatures can impact sperm production. So you can actually get a reduced conception rate as well. And can, if you've got heat stress in any of the ram or the ewe during that gestation, it can actually impact your lambs, and your lambs can actually be smaller at birth as well. So yes, of course, you're seeing here that's a lot of natural elements, but then also breeding in that autumn period when typically the weather is getting cooler, it is more conducive to your ewes being fertile, efficient, producing multiple births, and also from a point of view of lamb survival too. So out of season lambing, if you're trying to, for example, lamb your ewes twice a year, or maybe even three times over 2 years, you can expect some potential challenges. So loss of this reproductive efficiency, you can have lower fertility, lower success, those sorts of things. But with good management, you can experiment and see what is possible. And of course, that's where your nutrition comes in, to try and, I suppose, just impact nature a little bit. And you, of course, you can use hormones and different things that can trigger artificial or out of cycle lambing as well. But again, sometimes that can mean that if you are having that increase in the production capacity of that ewe, you are going to reduce the length of her production life. And of course, she needs better feed, better management, and they may be more expensive. So even though you're getting more lambs in the short term, it might be impacting your ewes in the sort of medium to long term. And of course, you know, for most of us, you know, yes, lambing is hard work for our ewes, but it's also hard work for us too. So you can think about, you know, would you like to be lambing more frequently than you are, and what cost might that come to you, and what cost might that come to your ewes, and particularly what cost might that come to the reproductive life of that particular ewe over time. So once your ewes are cycling, we know that they cycle about every 17 days on average, and over that cycling period, season, if you like, they may have 8 to 10 cycles if they don't get pregnant. Yeah, they may have 8 to 10 cycles. So if you think about that, effectively, they're going to have, so it's every 17 days, 2 cycles every month or thereabouts for potentially 4 months. So for us, that might be February, March, April, May, potentially into June. So that's what we're looking at in terms of, will my ewe get pregnant after they have been cycling for a frequent amount of time? Then you can start to think about what's realistic for you. Now, the other biggest challenge with getting your ewes pregnant out of cycle is, okay, you think about it, they're pregnant for 5 months, they're lactating for 3, and then they're dry for 4. So if you breed them out of cycle, then how are you going to get them back into the normal autumnal cycle so that they will breed within that autumn time frame for you? And that is a big challenge. And to start to sort of mess with that sort of dry period, you are going to have to get that ewe back into really good health so that they can be well enough, first of all, to cycle again and hopefully produce multiple eggs or ovulate, multiple ovulation, and also so that they're well enough to carry that lamb or lambs and then lactate again. Now, during the sort of second, particularly the second trimester of when ewes are pregnant, they need just enough to maintain their weight and their condition. So just enough. But at the beginning, we want to ideally flush them. So give them really good nutrition so that their body is tricked into producing multiple eggs. And definitely in that final trimester is where the demand is really high for our ewes. So hopefully that's helped you just sort of understand a few things about ewes and particularly seasonal breeders, but even non-seasonal breeders, because again, even polyestrous ewes, there are some issues. You can't just, well, you can stick the ram in anytime you want. But again, you think about the fact that it's going to be, could potentially be negatively impacted. So planning your breeding is going to give you and the ewe, pardon the pun, the best possible chance of working with nature. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sheep Show podcast. Please take a moment to rate and review this podcast on your preferred podcast app. Each rating and review helps us reach listeners just like you and help them also grow in their shepherding confidence. And let me know how your sheep journey is going. Contact me via Instagram at Holston Valley Farm or via email, jill@holstonvalleyfarm.com.au. And until next time, sheep well.